Planet Earth is in crisis. We can see it all around us. Even our environment is convulsing and falling apart. Pope Francis says that if we all work together, we can save our common home for future generations. Is he right or is he wrong? You'll find out next, so don't go away. Welcome to another White Horse Media production coming to you from Priest River, Idaho. My name is Pastor Steve Wahlberg. I'm the director and speaker of our ministry. I'm here with Rob Knott, who is my associate speaker. Rob and I travel together. We give seminars. Sometimes we travel separately and give seminars. We are both students of the Bible.
Amen.
And we are here to discuss a movie that came out in October of 2022, and the movie is called The Letter. So, Rob, this is it, the time to focus on The Letter. It's a big film, isn't it?
Yes, and they put a lot of time and I'm sure money into making it a wonderful production. It's really well done.
Yeah, it is well done, and definitely from a production standpoint, you could tell that they, you know, there's just been a lot of thought and energy put into this. It came out in October of 2022. Mm-hmm. It's a YouTube movie original. And last I checked, it was somewhere around 9 million views.
Wow.
So it's making the rounds. And the length of the film is somewhere, I think it's an hour and 21 minutes.
Correct.
Approximately. And it's called The Letter, A Message for Our Earth. And the Letter movie is actually based on an original or earlier letter or document that Pope Francis and the Vatican released in September of 2015, sent out by Vatican PR and sent out all around the world to countries and politicians and environmentalists and average people. And basically, that original letter was called an encyclical. The title is called Laudato Si, and it is Pope Francis's message to everybody about the environment, about our common home. And he's correct. Essentially saying that if we all work together, we can fix this problem of our environment falling apart.
You know, Steve, it's interesting, of all the encyclicals that prior popes have put together, this is the first one that has addressed the environment. So that's just a little interesting thought.
Yeah, and you know, this is a topic that people are thinking about these days because our environment is in trouble. There's no doubt about it.
Correct.
The Earth is having problems. Just recently, we heard about this terrible earthquake.
In Turkey.
In Turkey and Syria. My family's been praying for those people. I know you have, your wife. We talked on the phone recently, and your wife just said that she was just so sad thinking about the people over there. And we are too, you know, it's just horrific. And it's not just earthquakes. What else is rattling this earth?
Oh my, if you look around, if it isn't floods or fires or just all kinds of different disasters, I think the thing that speaks to me more of we have problems is that we have tornadoes that happen in the winter. We have fires that the season lasts year round. And so it's not just fires and floods and earthquakes, but they're happening at such a speed that you barely recover from the last one and another thing is happening on the news.
Yeah, I'm from California, that's where I grew up, and it's no secret California has been going through a terrible season of drought, and then finally the rain comes and there's flooding and it affects the crops and people's lives. I have my wife from Sacramento area, I'm from LA, and just recently there was a terrible flooding in that area, and one of her relatives operates a school which was flooded. Some of her other relatives had to leave their homes. And so, you know, these things are real. We don't question that.
Correct.
And they're going on all around the world, not just in America, Syria, Turkey, Pakistan, India, the list just goes on and on. And so, Rob, here's one of the big issues, and the issue is, why are these things happening? Why is nature convulsing and all these disasters taking place? What's the common view as expressed in the movie?
Yeah, the common view is that all of this is from human interaction, you know, as far as we are leaving a footprint that's causing problems.
A
carbon footprint that's is making people think that it's because humans are, you know, damaging the planet.
Yeah, we're using too much fossil fuels.
Yeah.
We're driving too many cars.
Yeah.
And the smoke and
CO2.
The pollution.
Mm-hmm.
The quote, greenhouse gases are going up and being trapped up there, and they're heating the
global
environment.
Warming,
and
yeah.
So global warming, you know, is hitting the earth, and it's affecting the environment, and everything's falling apart. And and the Pope essentially says that this is because of humanity's disregard for the earth and our selfish quest for materialism and money. And so we are, we're doing this.
And in some points, I would agree that, you know, human beings do make decisions that are selfish and abuse and cut down forests.
Of course.
I think you and I just don't quite agree with that's the main reason.
Yeah, there's a bigger picture we want to look at. Now, let's talk about the film. The film is called The Letter, A Message to Our Earth, which is from the Pope. So what's the movie about?
So it starts out with a gentleman in West Africa. He's on the beach talking to a friend, and it's basically he's saying how his where he lives is going under the water because of the rising sea levels, and so it's destroying their homes, and they're not able to find work. And so him and some other people try to make a crossing across a big body of water to find another place to live, and it capsizes. At that moment, you see the Pope come on the screen saying, this is a problem of worldwide threat that's happening we need to address. Mm-hmm. And so from that, you see Pope Francis coming out with his Laudato Si document, his encyclical that addresses climate change. And from that point of his encyclical, it basically, the movie goes back to the Vatican, where the Vatican is addressing a letter to four people groups, basically. And the first one is to this man in West Africa. And he gets a letter from Pope Francis inviting him to the Vatican, as well as to a young person who lives in India. And then there's a tribal chief from the Amazon. And the last one is to a couple who work on nature and the coral reefs in Hawaii. And so those four people groups that they represent are basically sent a letter stating to come to the Vatican, inviting you to Rome to dialogue about climate change and how we can fix this problem. And really, that's the issue. The movie is them coming to Rome and them basically coming into a harmonious rhythm together in wanting to fix this problem.
Yeah, and people are shocked. You know, the man in the Amazon, the way out in the jungle.
Yes.
He gets this letter, and he opens the letter, and it's from the Pope, and he wants him to come to Rome.
They're all surprised.
Yeah, they're all surprised, and they make the journey, and they get to Rome, and they meet with the Pope, and they discuss together
mm-hmm.
how awful it is, what's, you know, the environmental crisis that we're in, what's happening, and how it's hurting people, and how we all need to really, you know, work together to solve this problem as a human family,
yeah,
a human race, in order to save the world for future generations, so that our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids can have a place to live.
And not only in the movie, but in Laudato Si, the encyclical, you find time and time again, we need to preserve our common home.
Right. And as I watched the film, and these are things that jumped out at me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we are wounding the earth. We need to save our common home, like you mentioned. We need to take action to solve the climate crisis now. We need to save our future. It's now or never.
Right.
We need to protect the vulnerable and the poor. And this is a message that is not just being communicated from this movie, but it's coming from, you know, world leaders. It's coming from big councils. It's coming from programs on YouTube, protests and the whole issue of climate change and the environment in the media has become really, really big. You know, we need to get away from driving regular cars. You know, we need to go the electric vehicles like Tesla or Rivian. Mm-hmm. And so, this issue is about as big as it gets. Now, you mentioned you saw some of the comments that were posted underneath the video. So just share some of those with us.
So one of the persons that commented said, "Thank you, Your Holiness, Pope Francis, uniting us through Laudato Si." Another person said, "You're saving our planet, Father Francis, you are." Another one said, "Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is saving Mother Earth for every one of us. God bless him." Another commented, "There can be no renewal of our relationship with nature without a renewal of humanity itself. Pope Francis, what will you and I do in this symphony of care for our common home?" And the last one says, "A great eye-opener. If one is needed, we need to stand together and do our bit to safeguard humanity and our common home. Every action has an impact. Our leaders carry great responsibility." And yes, there is one more. It says, "We need to unite as humanity and put all our differences aside. That is the only way we can save the world."
Yeah. And we want to clarify something real important, and that is that we certainly believe that we need to be good stewards of the earth.
No question.
And that many things that we do, does hurt our environment. And
there is cause and effect.
We're conscious of our, not polluting. I mentioned to you that, we're now here in Idaho in the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. We heat our house with wood. And my normal practice when I'm taking cardboard and tearing it up and getting ready to put it into the fire, as kindling, that I have a regular habit. If there's a strip of plastic, like if I get an Amazon box and I want to tear it up and get it ready for the fireplace, I will tear off the strips of plastic because I don't like the idea of, burning plastic in my neighborhood. So, I try to be careful too. I want to be a good steward, and I don't want to, pollute unnecessarily the air or anywhere else.
I remember as a boy, growing up in the 70s and seeing a TV commercial with a Indian standing beside, I think it was a freeway in Los Angeles, and people driving by and throwing trash out the window, and you see a trickle down the cheek of the Indian of, him remembering what it once was like before the pollution and all the smog and the problems.
And it's a real, it's the environmental issue is very real. And what we want to do next is we want to go to this book. We want to go to the Bible and look at what the Bible says. And one of the big issues, Rob, is that we need to step back and look at the forest, as they say, and not just the trees. And the Bible gives us a big picture that takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to the book of Genesis, way back at the beginning, and it helps give us a context for what is happening right now. And I'd like to read the very first verse of the Bible. In Genesis, which means the book of beginnings, in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So there's the earth, and the movie's called Our Message to the Earth, or A Message to the Earth, and here God made the earth. And when you read Genesis 1, He made the earth in 6 days, He rested on the seventh, and at the beginning, at the end of chapter 1, in verse 31, it says, "God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." So the earth was good, it was perfect, there was no there were no tornadoes or fires or floods or hurricanes or earthquakes. Everything was just perfect.
Very good.
That's right. Very good. And then when you get to Genesis 3, it describes the drama between good and evil. And it describes the devil coming into the garden and working through a serpent in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then tempting Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. God had told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree. They can eat from the tree of life, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they ate from that fruit, they would die. And they were, at least Eve was deceived by that serpent. And it says in verse 6 that she eventually did eat. And she gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
Yes.
And this is how what the Bible calls sin entered the world.
Yep.
And this is really the root of the problem, is that God made a perfect world. He made perfect people and gave them one restriction, not to eat from that tree. And that's where a fallen angel named Lucifer, whose name was changed to Satan, entered a snake and spoke to Eve and convinced her that eating from this forbidden fruit would make her a god, and her eyes would be open, she'd be enlightened, it would be a happy experience for her.
She would ascend to a higher level.
Yeah, ascend to a higher level, and that's where all of the problems started. And now if you go to Romans chapter 5, and I think you had a verse in chapter 8 we can look at in a second. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12, just nails it, Rob. It just puts the finger right on the real problem. It says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man," and that one man was Adam,
yes,
sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the word is S-I-N, sin. Sin came in through Adam, sin came into the world, and that's what brought death and disaster into the world.
The wages of sin is death, yes.
That's right. And you had a verse from Romans
chapter 8. Yes, 8:22 of Romans, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." So there's a consequence. Sin has left a deadly trail. And as we've gone forward in history, it's evident we don't live as long as the people from the past, and we have more diseases, and our DNA is breaking down. And so the whole creation from top down under that curse.
So according to the message of the Bible to the earth, to the world, to people, even though pollution, you know, is bad and we shouldn't be polluting our environment unnecessarily, the biggest problem is not humanity's use of fossil fuels. The bigger problem is sin, that human beings have sinned and that we are on a course that has resulted in environmental degradation. And I think you had a text wanted to read in
I was just gonna say,
or Isaiah.
Before we go to Isaiah, Steve, I just wanted to go to Genesis real quick. Genesis 6, it says the earth was corrupt before God. This was just before the flood and filled with violence. And God had to destroy the earth with a cataclysmic climate change. And even though God caused the flood to happen, it was a result of their sin and their corruption that caused that whole thing to come about.
Yeah, so in Genesis 6, God sent a judgment to the world with the big flood because of humanity's sin, and he washed the world in the days of Noah.
Exactly.
Now, Isaiah 24 really has a very strong message about the root of the problems that humanity is experiencing and how it affects the earth. So why don't you read that?
So it says in verse 4 of 24, it says, "The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left."
So that just sounds like our world.
It definitely
does. The earth
does.
Is mourning, it says in verse 4. It's fading away. And verse 5 says that the earth is defiled because of the inhabitants thereof.
And why is that?
Yeah, and then it says, because they have burned fossil fuels.
It doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't say that. It says, because they have transgressed the laws, they have broken the law of God, they've broken the Ten Commandments, the world is immoral. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just our habits of polluting the environment, it goes deeper than that. It goes to the human heart and the human mind and our immoral actions in violating the Ten Commandments. You know, God's law, God gave Adam and Eve a command, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Exactly.
And they disobeyed that command. They disobeyed God, and they broke his word, and that's what resulted in sin. And that's the big picture. And Isaiah is pretty much saying the same thing. It's because people have transgressed the law of God. And so if the transgression is that we're using fossil fuels, then we all need to just stop using fossil fuels. But if the real root problem is that people are violating God's law morally, going against his Ten Commandments,
yes,
then the problem becomes a different problem and the solution becomes a different solution.
And if we let Scripture speak, if we let Scripture guide our lives, it gives us the true answer to the problem. Yes, there is pollution and problems, but it's not the big core issue.
It's the result of the core issue.
We want to get to the root today.
That's right.
And, you know, it's common throughout the entire Scriptures, but just to add more to it, in Leviticus chapter 26, there's this, verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the yield shall yield their fruit. And over again, if you do this, I'll send blessings. And over here on this other hand, if you decide to follow your own selfish desires and ways, then you'll receive the curses. And you won't receive the fruit in due season.
That's right. So again, obedience, disobedience, and its effect on the environment is connected to that.
That's
issue.
What I yeah. see.
Now let's go to 2 Peter, because I really want to zero in on this. We started with Genesis. Now we're getting near the end of the Bible to 2 Peter. And in chapter 3, what's happening is the Lord is giving us a message as to what his solution is to this problem.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 10, the Bible says, but the day, actually I want to read verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some men count slowness, but he's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people to repent of their evil
yes.
deeds. And then verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So God's ultimate solution to the woes of the environment and the world is not to have us all work together and go green so we can solve the climate problem and save the earth for future generations.
Right.
You know, that's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole.
Correct.
God's solution is his return at the end and him burning up all the wickedness and all the sin and all the evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the good news is in verse 13, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So God's ultimate biblical solution is not a patch job.
No, it's not a remodel.
That's right. It's not a remodel. God has a bigger plan. He sees the big issue. He sees the issue is sin. Sin in human hearts. Disobedience to God's will. And the result of that is the whole earth is falling apart. Sin is here. Death is here. And these are all symptoms of the bigger problem. And God's solution is not to just, you know, do something small. His solution, and it's not a human solution. It's not all of us working together to solve this problem. His solution is he's going to come. It's called the day of the Lord.
That's right.
Like a thief in the night. And if you want to talk about global warming, I mean, this is total global warming when it says the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Just like the flood, God sent the
yes.
flood to wash the world, and God is going to do the ultimate form of global warming at the end. He's going to set this whole planet on fire himself, so that he can cleanse it and purify it and clean it from sin and evil and darkness. And those who have chosen mm-hmm. to return, to repent and to return to their loyalty to God, they're the ones that can then be part of the new heavens and the new earth. And it's not going to be just a like we said, a remodel. It's going to be back to the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
A perfect world.
Amen. You know, Steve, I think of what's going on today with people and how they view the Scriptures. Pope Francis, in his encyclical never mentions the second coming of Jesus and what we just mentioned, of God restoring this earth to once it, what it once was. And so I think it's important that we understand that even though we believe we should be good stewards, we're not saying that we should, you know, take advantage of the earth just because God is coming back and pollute and throw things out the window. But at the same time, our eyes should be lifted up to what God is going to do ultimately in sending fire and recreating this earth back
That's
to its...
That's right. And God's ultimate goal is not for fallen human beings to work together to save the earth.
No.
His ultimate goal is for individuals to make a choice to repent.
Yes.
To turn from sin so he can get them out of this inferno.
Yes.
And this world of wickedness, so that they can then be transported.
Yes.
Into the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. So,
amen.
And of course, the ultimate reason for us to give God our hearts is because of what Jesus did when he gave his life on the cross. He showed his love. He died for human sin. He rose from the dead. He went to heaven, and he's going to come back.
That's exactly
he's
right.
He's going to come back soon, and he's going to wrap this up.
A very long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish.
That's right. So we want to appeal to you. The movie is called A Letter, A Message to the Earth. But God has a message in the Bible. God's message in his word is to repent and turn from sin, to believe in Jesus and to get ready for the second coming. So when God remakes everything brand new, you can be there, we can be there, we can all be there.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, the 666 Beast Identified. What it means to you identifies both the beast and his strange number 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from White Horse Media.
We hope you've been blessed by this White Horse Media production. To support White Horse Media, please call us at 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. You may also send your donations by mail to White Horse Media, P.O. Box 130, Priest River, Idaho 83856, or donate online at whitehorsemedia.com.
And now for some breaking news. White Horse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. Jesus is coming soon, and a wonderful adventure awaits those who embark on this journey. Time is so short, and God's Word is needed as never before. To learn more, visit whitehorsemediabibleschool.com. That's whitehorsemediabibleschool.com. You'll be glad you did.
Approaching Armageddon is now available as a book, as an ebook, as an audio series, or as a video course. Based on the Bible, it clearly explains the past, the present, and the future. It is now available from White Horse Media. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10, God's holy word says, "The time is at hand."